Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Inside Try Show with Helen Murray.
This is the podcast that takes a deeper look at the sport
with in-depth interviews and special episodes
to keep you entertained and inspired while you're training.
And we're rolling.
Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Inside Try Show, the weekly podcast with me, Helen Murray, bringing you the best interviews from triathlon and beyond. I had a brilliant chat with Denmark's Helle Frederiksen for this week's show. So that's going to be the interview coming up. But before you hear from Helle, this week's show is powered by 33fuel.com, the team behind the Runner's World Health Product of the Year, Ultimate Daily Greens. They also do the most amazingly delicious, natural, nutty energy bars and protein bars, which are completely, I'm telling you, they are in a completely different league to your typical sports bar. And that is because 33fuel are big on natural ingredients, which means no junk and certainly no chemical tastes. You can get your hands on 6 protein bars, their premium protein and their ultimate daily greens as part of their special lockdown bundle. Just go to their website at 33fuel.com, and if you use the code INSIDETRY33, you'll get a discount at checkout. You can check out the show notes, and remember that supporting the people who support me really does make a huge difference. How has your week been since we were last, well, since you were last listening? Some wins for me. There are definite wins. Well, the sun keeps on shining, so that is up there right away. It's always a bonus, isn't it, for being able to get outside. We managed a really nice long ride, actually, at the weekend, followed by a few cold beers and a barbecue. And then Sunday was all about the open water swim, and it was, yeah, just glorious in the water. And I think over the past couple of weeks, the water has actually started to get a little bit clearer. So it's just a real joy to swim in it. And at the moment, I don't know, it's definitely, style's probably not the best, but just being back in the water is so liberating. It's incredible. So yeah, absolutely loving that. And then my transformation to a complete yogi continues. And last week I did not one, but 2 live classes. My goodness, this is just crazy. It's just crazy, but I'm loving the transformation. So the first live yoga class was with Tim. And then the second one, this one was pretty neat, actually. It was over Zoom, obviously, but it was a class in Australia. And I was joining my brother and my sister-in-law at their local class. So it was very strange. It was 9 p.m. for me. And it was 6 a.m. in the morning for them. So I was starting in the light. And then by 10 p.m. when it was finishing, I was pretty much in the dark. And they were all in the light. And it was very weird at the end. The instructor was sort of saying, and hopefully this is now energizing you for the day ahead. And Helen, you're over there in Europe. Hopefully it's got you in a good place before you go to bed. And it really did. It worked. It was ace. So there you go. There's the update of Yogi Helen. Now, before we get to this week's interview, I just want to say thank you very much to my patrons who support the show with a monthly donation. I would love for you to join them. If you do like what I do, you enjoy listening to the show, you find it useful, you learn something, hopefully have a bit of a laugh too, then head over to patreon.com/InsideTryShow and just sign up. You can buy me a coffee every month or maybe a glass of vino if you're feeling up for it. That would be amazing.
Time for this week's interview.
It was a real eye-opener and a real joy, actually, to catch up with Hella Fredriksson for this week's show. The ITU Long Distance World Champion is from Denmark. She started out as a top swimmer before moving into triathlon. She competed for Denmark at the London 2012 Olympics before switching to the longer distance stuff, where she got 10 wins over the 70.3 distance and the world's best time. She also has an MSc in human nutrition. And since retiring in 2019, she's expanded her coaching business. So it is brilliant to hear her thoughts and experiences from her educational background, as well as from a coaching and an athlete's perspective when it comes to training, fasted training, periods, health, longevity, etc., etc., following the Healthy Body series with WITSUP. We touch on a lot of subjects, and as a female, it certainly made me think twice about ever doing a fasted workout or faffing. I'm good at faffing. Faffing in the shower as soon as I get in from a ride or a long run. Here it is. Hella Fredriksson, it's lovely to have you on the podcast. Now, you actually got in touch with me rather than me sending out emails pleading for people to come on. You got in touch with me. So why was that?
Yeah, firstly, congrats on your kind of new adventure and podcast and whatever you're doing. I think the reason why I got in touch with you was that I have listened to some of your podcasts, and I think that you take a little bit of a different approach than a lot of other people. It's very, it's quite serious what you're talking about, and especially this subject about body image and how you work together with Steph to kind of get this going. I think it's very brave, and it's an area that many people maybe don't really want to talk about, and it's a very sensitive subject. And I think you two really highlighted it well. And I was quite touched and moved with the outcome of the podcast that I heard. And I thought it was, as I say, very serious. And then I thought that, yeah, maybe I could bring a little bit of extra insight into it, maybe some from my experience, knowledge, that could maybe contribute to it as well.
Yeah, because you obviously have now retired from racing, and you're now a coach as well, working as a coach. But let's go back to the athletic career, so to speak, or the triathlete career, or the swimming career at the very beginning. So did you experience issues with body image?
Well, in the environment that I was in, it was not around me. Like, I was not close to anyone really that was in it. And I think that I was quite fortunate that I did not see anything in the day to day. I clearly know that, you know, it was there. I was hearing about it. I got a little bit later when I was a few years into triathlon, when I was at that point almost getting my master's degree in human nutrition, I got contacted by some coaches actually to help out some other athletes to look into their diet or whatever they were, you know, how they were approaching food, because I also knew, well, I have a degree in sports science too, but also because I was in triathlon myself. So I knew what it requires. But I would say, like, I started my career in ITU racing, and I noticed at some of the races, especially after the races, when we went to restaurants, and often it was the same restaurants that we went to in the small cities, some of the smaller cities where they had the World Cups and the WTS races. And I was noticing especially some of the girls that was eating salad after a race. And I can remember thinking that, wow, I mean, that is, firstly, it's really, really bad for your recovery. And secondly, it's like, why are you depriving yourself from going out and you know, treating yourself after, you know, you're working towards this race, and then you got to just let go and enjoy after the race. And they clearly did not. And I was clearly looking over to them and thinking, there must be something more going on, and it cannot be what you crave, a salad after a race.
No way.
So there was those things, but I would say I have been fortunate not seeing too much, but I know it was there.
And would you ever say anything to them, Hella?
Not at that point. I did not say anything to any of them. It's only been when I got a little older and a little bit more mature and was maybe faced with more, and I started coaching triathletes in 2009, 2010. And when I started to do that, and I was starting to get in touch with both some elite but also amateurs, that was in the beginning not saying anything to me, but I could clearly feel that there was something more going on there. I was starting to become a little bit more aware and also wanted to reach out, because many times it's just, they just need someone to trust and talk to. That is not looking at them like they've done something completely wrong or they have a mental issue. It's often just to let them understand or educate them a little bit. It doesn't take a lot, because often they just don't know.
That is exactly what I was going to say. I mean, do you think that there is just a big lack of education? You know, everyone can talk about bikes, everyone can talk about power, everyone can talk about what wetsuit they want to buy, but actually, do they know what they're doing when it comes to fueling their training and fueling their running, fueling their swims, fueling their bikes, fueling their life, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's a lack of knowledge, and it's also, as an individual that's an athlete, it's a big thing to know about nutrition as well. And often, you know, you get a coach to help you with your training and make a training plan. And if we just take high performance racing first, there, I think, especially in the short distance races, that is based on funding, and the funding is based on how many medals you get. And there, I think the coaches are under pressure, and they often think about the quick fix. And the quick fix is often in short distance races to lose a few kilos, and then you will run faster. And often many of the races turns into running races, or it did years ago. It's getting better now, where the bike is getting a little harder, and there's becoming some really, really strong girls out there, and we're seeing a lovely trend in that direction. But for like 8 years ago, let's just call it that, it was more a running race. And the coaches, I think they were under pressure, but they were maybe also some of them not educated enough in looking at the athletes from a holistic point of view. That, and this is regardless if you're elite or an amateur, most of us in triathlon are type A persons. We are perfectionists. We want to achieve great things. It's not enough to just participate. It's not enough to be average. We want to do it well. And if we go into things, we do it full on. And that's with everything. And that's often also with the job situation for a lot of amateur. And I think the problem is a lot out there, because I see it a lot with amateurs, that they have equally as many issues as the elite. And I think that as a coach, if you are providing a program as a coach, then it's important that you say that that's the only thing I provide. I don't have any responsibility to you as a person or the outcome, really, where I think if you are a coach, you need to take responsibility full on this athlete, because it comes as a whole, holistic, package person that has a family life and a work life and a sport life and a mental head space that comes on with it. And I think I think for me, that's the beauty of coaching, that all are different and you just need to approach them differently. They need everything differently, but it's just important as a coach that you take the responsibility, because it's more than, we can't just point fingers and say it's only high performance that has a problem here.
I think that's what, we've heard, you know, just from feedback from the two podcasts, like so many people have been in touch and said, oh, I was starting to go down a slippery slope, or I didn't realize, or this has made me realize X or Y, or I've noticed something in, you know, in my husband, I don't think he's fueling enough. And yeah, I think
And I think that's also about that we would like to achieve, you know, we would like to achieve our goals, and we don't know the best way of achieving. And it's also about the knowledge that's out there. And often it's very messy and blurred. Like, it's difficult to separate what's good information and bad information, and what science is behind this information that we are actually just absorbing on the internet. And what people is this science based on? You know, what group, age group? Is it women? Is it men? Is it mice? You know, what is it? Yeah. And we often just eat it raw because it's just so difficult to separate what's right and wrong.
So where would you even begin, Hella, with giving, I mean, as we've just said, it's about treating everyone as an individual. But if people are listening to this, thinking, oh, maybe I need to look at that a little bit because I read this article, but then this one said something different. What would you say to people as a starting point? Where might they be able to start to actually think, right, what am I doing?
Yeah, I think it's about maybe asking yourself, what is it that you want with the sport? Why are you in the sport, and how much are you willing to put into it? And also in terms of, like, how much do I want to invest? So am I okay with the not having contact to a coach, for instance, that can guide me? Am I fine with that? And then you will take on all the responsibility yourself. Then I think you also need to accept that you, yeah, as I said, you're taking responsibility on yourself, but you, if you know enough yourself, then that's fine. But you also need to then respect that there might be things that you are not benefiting from, or that you can go wrong. And in the, where do you find your knowledge? I mean, it is so difficult. Well, I dive into PubMed articles, but I mean that normal people can't just do that, of course. So I think today we are very limited in where we know that we can get trustworthy information. And I think, I mean, your podcast is good for a starter, where you're taking a critical approach and you're trying to bring in some value and some knowledge to some areas that, you know, not, you're not taking a certain standpoint, but you're trying to broaden the view of some areas. I think that is great, that it's always like from you know, your point of view, and not trying to point fingers of things and saying this is the right way. I think the best we can do as an individual is to be critical when we're reading things, and really trying to see, you know, if we're taking in the knowledge that we read online, trying to see if we can figure out what is this based on. And I think an approach, especially for women, is that, you know, it's only recently that we've started to get more science on women, because we are quite different from men, especially when we are menstruating, because of our hormonal cycle, and it really influences a lot. And it, when it is that you then make science on women, it is so difficult to find, you know, the stable period within our, yeah, whatever, 4 weeks, let's just call it 4 week cycle. So I think as a woman, it's important to not just, women needs to be more critical than men, because most science is still made on men. That's what I'm trying to say.
Can you give any specific examples with that, Hella? Because I've heard things like the recovery window is different for women compared to men. You know, if you're preparing for menstruation, then there are certain things that you can do, and that, you know, you can at least experiment to find out what works for you. So have you got any specific examples?
Yeah, there's something like, I think there's quite a big of a difference for, like, for instance, training fasted men and women, whereas men can actually benefit from it and lean up and use fat when it is that they're training fasted, whereas training fasts often happens in the morning, and the hormone, especially cortisol, is quite high in the morning. And if you are then, as a woman, training fasted, you would often have that cortisol would keep increasing. Cortisol is a stress hormone. And if that keeps increasing, then needs to kind of get it goes on, what do you call that? It takes from our sex hormone, so specifically yep. estrogen. And then the body is actually starting to hold on to fat instead of giving off or losing fat, which is probably what we wanted. And if you keep doing it, it's kind of a spiral where you are starting to interfere with your sex hormones, and you are not bringing down your cortisol, your stress hormones, from the morning. And for women, it doesn't take a lot, also for men, but it doesn't take a lot of calories in the morning, like a bit of carbs and a bit of proteins, to break that fasted cycle. So it's not that you need to eat a big breakfast. It can be as little as a banana with peanut butter and almond butter, and then you're good to go, and you've broken your fasted cycle, and therefore the body is willing also to actually use fat as a substrate to burn the fat off. The same happens also, the importance of the recovery afterwards. So again, that we start to adapt and recover. And as you said, we have a shorter window, probably half an hour, where men can maybe have an hour. And that's again back to our hormones are just different. So I'm really trying to work with all the women that I have been close with, just trying to not train fasted regardless of what it is that you have to go out and do. Because most of us can eat a banana with something protein on before we go.
And Hella, how many articles have you seen out there talking about fasted training and, you know, why you should bring fasted training into your training program, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. So many. I mean, even when I was a professional myself, like maybe from five, six, seven years ago, I mean, I tried a few times to run without breakfast, but I couldn't move, and I felt terrible. So I never really did it. But it was not due to science. It was just due to that did not work for me. And I felt terrible when I did it. And I'm also starving when I get out of bed. So there was no way else than straight in the fridge. So, I mean, if I was a person that didn't feel good about eating breakfast, I would probably just, why not? You know, because we don't know, where should we know it from if there's no science made on women, and you have your better half or your husband that can do it. He's fine, you know.
Oh, so here's a prime example, Hella, of that. So if we go out riding, so my husband and I, we obviously, he's male, I'm female, clearly. But in terms of metabolism and things, like, he can just ride for probably 3 hours without needing anything, whereas I really, really can't. And it's almost like a mental battle that if I'm riding with him, I feel like, oh, I'm going to be annoying if I say I just need to just stop and grab something, or it's just really weird. And it's just these two completely different bodies. He can keep going. I really can't.
Yeah. But I think there is also a lot, like, if we are able to listen to ourselves and all the signals that our body is giving us, and actually trying to learn what that means, the more we can listen, the better we can treat this body, because it's actually saying some good things. So we shouldn't deprive all the signals that is coming out. Of course, if it's screaming to eat a jar of Nutella every day, maybe not. But you know, it are telling you, if it is that it's screaming, okay, I want to eat Nutella or bread rolls with Nutella, maybe you are just so low in carbs, or that you need to eat energy dense now because you are in an energy deficit because you've just been riding for 4 hours. Like, and then you thought you should just eat a bowl of salad, but that's just, you're not getting anywhere. You need to get your calories up again or eat more energy dense. And throughout my career, I still do it, but I ate a lot of granola, and I think it was just, I could not, and not the healthy stuff, just full of syrup and all the good stuff in it, right? And I think it was just like, I could not get enough calories in if I just ate, you know, too healthy. So sometimes you just need to think about getting the calories in, because if you don't get the calories in and, you know, be in an energy balance, the body doesn't want to adapt and recover to the training, and it's just going to hold on to, often for women, fat. Yeah. We're just holding on like we're in some sort of starvation, and the body doesn't want to let go. And I think from my own experience, I felt like quite on my body, that I've been fortunate that I've always listened and I've always been feeding it quite well, and I appreciate having that balanced approach to food. And I then saw that it was so easy for me to be lean because I was really feeding it a lot. And it was just responding so quick to whatever I was doing. And of course, that also gave me like, okay, that's actually working. So a lot of the time, you know, the trial and errors and trying it on yourself. And it was like, many people would not believe how I could eat this much and be this lean. But it's actually the reason why I was this lean, because of course I was training a lot.
Yeah. And do you think, Hella, that had you not studied nutrition, do you think, in hindsight, like, do you think it would have been the same, or do you think you had that advantage because you had done all the studies and the science behind it?
Yeah, I think I've always been quite interested in what you can do to optimize your physiology, and I've always like felt like I have this machine of a body, and been quite fascinating of what can I do with this so that I get the best version out of myself and become the best athlete that I can be. So trying to do whatever different recovery approaches, but especially it was the food, and I could almost panic or be, you know, terrified if I came home from a big ride and I did not have enough food in my house to fuel it afterwards, because I'm like, whoa, I'm going to break my body down now. I need food, and I need it now. So, and I think that was probably the education also that was, you know, speaking to me at that point, that I knew that to optimize, and I've just been out, you know, training super, super hard, but to optimize and get the most out of that session, I need to eat now and not in an hour because I don't have food in my house.
So, what was that? So those kind of, it's like panic attack things.
Yeah. I always have food, but you just do not disturb. Straight in and diving into it.
So I guess, like you said before, about that recovery window for females, if it's half an hour, your shower, all that kind of stuff would wait, and you would be straight on to recovery first thing when you got back in.
So usually what I would do, if I'll probably just split my lunch, so it would usually go straight into some sort of like, Greek yogurt. So with a lot of protein in, and then with muesli and bananas and nuts, seeds, so that I knew that I got fat and proteins and some carbs, and then obviously some hydration as well. And then we'll kind of just put a little lid on it, and then I would shower and do my stretching or rolling and on the foam roller, and then I would come down again and keep eating. So that it would also stop me from being, I don't know, it could also be because I've always been eating so frequently that if I did not eat, I would feel off, nauseous, dizzy, lightheaded. And if I then ate, it would be, you know, it would go away and I would feel good again. And then I will continue down eating after a long bike session, maybe try between 3 and 5 hours, right? That will look like that.
And would you have taken on nutrition on that ride as well?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When you were in, you know, the middle of training, what sort of nutrition would that have been on your 3 to 5 hour ride?
So I would have electrolytes with a very thin carbohydrate mix as well in my bottles. I would start out with just electrolytes and then add in carbohydrates after like 1.5 hour in the drink. But I would have bars with me that I would start to go on from before the first hour, like whole food bars, so like where it's basically just fruits and nuts and seeds and oats mashed together, basically.
And would that be stuff that you had made, or would you just buy them?
I would just buy them, yeah, but try to get them whole food or organic so that I knew that at least I'm getting real food out there, because it can be many, many hours and it's not synthetic stuff that I'm filling myself with, but I am actually getting other good stuff in my body, as you know, the good fat and some fibers and something that the body could actually work with. And that's especially on a ride where I feel like I could easily tolerate those things. Bananas would also be a go-to to bring that on board, but always whole food and almost never gels in training.
And Hella, how have things changed since you retired last year? Yeah, how has your nutrition changed? Or has it not?
No, it actually hasn't. No. I think I've just been lucky that it's always been very balanced, as I said, and never fanatic, and eating candy and granola and chocolate and whatever I feel like whenever I feel like. I have done that as long. I always had like a rule, you just need to fuel first and then you can eat the crap afterwards that has no vitamins or no nothing for you in it and it's full of bad stuff. But I mean, you have to let yourself also do those things and enjoy that and, you know, treat yourself if you think that's a treat after a long day of hard work. It can be you coming home from work and then also been training. As long as you fuel in real food first. So it hasn't really changed and I still like the same things. I mean, the only thing that's changed is that I don't have any crazy panic that I now need food or else you cannot be around me.
Or else, Ben, get out of the way.
It's not there anymore because I don't train. Well, I train minimal compared to what I did. So that is not there anymore. But I mean, I do some training every morning and it's the same structure where I get up, I eat, I train, and then I eat again straight after the session. So that would be completely like it was when I was an athlete.
If you don't mind talking about periods as well, mm-hmm. has your cycle changed since retiring?
No, that hasn't changed either. So that's also the same. Yeah. So what changed for me, I was on birth control for many years, and at that point my period disappeared for years. When I got off birth control, which is quite a few years ago now, it just came back after like 2 or 3 months when I was not on birth control, so not taking anything. And it's been pretty stable ever since I did that. So my theory is it's not about if you are very lean or whatever your fat percentage is. Like, of course, if it's extremely skinny, it's not good. But it's all about being in energy balance. So like your output and input is almost the same. So it's the balance that the body knows that it's always getting fed and it's always getting enough, because then the hormone system is working as it should and it's not in overdrive, it's not in any stress situation, because when you are training, you're stressing your body, you're breaking your body down. If you don't build it up again, it will run down a spiral and then at some point it will lose its cycle, because you don't need your cycle to survive. It has to be there. But you don't die from it not being there. That's putting it quite extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
But having a cycle is definitely indication that you are healthy in a good way, and that you're a strong athlete, and you have a longevity in you. And whereas I would say again back to 6-8 years ago, where often having a cycle was a sign of you were not race ready. And what do you need your cycle for? You probably just need to lean up a little bit more. And I am so happy that there is starting to become way more awareness around that the cycle is for, that's when we are healthy, that's when we are at our strongest, and that is when we're going to perform best, but also the longevity, and not a quick fix that's going to last for 2 years and then you are injured or ill. and out of there.
Did you hear that comment a bit, say 6 to 8 years ago, or again, did on the circuit, did people just not really talk about periods, or would there be one or two who would happily go, oh God, I've got my period today, it's race day, ugh.
Yeah, I heard the fact that, do you have your period? No, I haven't. I don't have my period. Haven't had it for years. I heard that many times. And at that point, I would not be thinking anything different of like, oh, well, she's pretty lean. So that's probably the reason, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas that's often it is, and often the doctors or coaches just put you on birth control or on artificial hormones to either stabilize it or bring a period or bring it for like that you're starting to have a period again. And it is not a period, it's just a withdrawal of blood. So the thing is, we think it is, but it's not. And everything is artificial. So it's just, I think starting now to be aware of the birth control or pills are definitely not the way forward for an athlete. If it is that you are not having your period, it's not a birth control pill you should get on, you should address it. Why don't you have your period? Because again, it's about longevity, not only as an athlete, but as your health. And one day, if you want to have a family.
Yeah, that is, it's so, so true.
Yeah.
And honestly, Helle, you've hit the nail on the head. And I do think that there is more education slowly. About it. But I mean, so in the Danish Federation, then would you have been encouraged to, or would it not have been spoken about?
It when I was there, it wasn't spoken about, but it was definitely not like food in general or taking in nutrition was something that you just did. Like, I mean, we ate lunch together very, very often after sessions or after a long morning of session, and it was all about who got first to the lunch table as there was no more food. So it's like, you better hurry here. So I think we had a healthy relationship in the Danish Federation when I was under it. And in terms of period, I did not hear about anything at that point about period. I just know it a little later that it changed a bit after I was more turning into long distance. And maybe also becoming more a mature athlete and also maybe brighten my horizon a little bit more and also maybe opening up my views because I was helping a lot of people as well. So I was probably also aware of other things than I was when I was in under the Federation or in the short distance ITU racing myself.
Yeah, yeah. And when did you ever race with it, with a period?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Did you hate those races, or were they okay?
They were good. Yeah, no, I raced well. I raced well. There was no problem. I mean, I always.
Oh, hello! Everyone's now thinking, oh,
yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, for me, it was more the days up to where I felt like I was gonna explode. But when you finally get your period, it's actually more like firstly, it's a health sign, but secondly, it's actually as some sort of anti-inflammatory process that the body is doing for you. It's just cleaning up, getting ready for fresh. So no, it was never a problem for me. I remember one of my first races ever when I was a swimmer. It was a Danish championship. I think I was 16, where I had my period and I was just out of my mind. I was like, no way, I can't. And I became a Danish champion. And I was like, from that day, I was like, oh, it's good luck to have your period. So, no, it's all fine.
And what about, did you ever race then in those few days before your period? And how did you deal with the bloating and just feeling really, really tired?
Yeah, that was more tough because also that I did not know exactly when will it come, you know, on the day. So you would always, you know, having to carry stuff around and be quite aware of like, especially in race morning, something come or not, or how is it here? So that would be tougher, and also, you know, maybe a bit of pain and a bit of bloated, and I felt quite a bit when I was running, so I did race as well, leading into it where I wish it would just come instead. And so I guess I've raced like 130 times. So there's been plenty of times with the where you can hit different times in your cycle, but it's never been that I can blame it that I've underperformed due to that. Definitely not.
Amazing. And then switching away from period slightly to, I'm interested at the moment, Hella, because a lot of people, due to what's been happening in the world recently, maybe they're not working at the moment. Maybe they just need goals. But a lot of people have been training way, way more recently than perhaps they normally would. Yeah. Have you seen that at all? And what would your thoughts on that be?
Yeah, well, I have seen it. And I think a lot of people maybe have been giving themselves challenges or like big crazy rides, like 200 or 300 kilometer rides many times, simply because they needed a goal and they needed something to look forward to. It's probably not the most wise thing to do, but I also understand that you maybe feel that you need a purpose in your training. And it's definitely something you need to be aware of, that it can have some consequences in the long run if you do a lot of that and then not take it into account in terms of recovery and getting the right nutrition for these long. So I understand that people would do it, but you need to kind of also know what you're doing then. And what I tried to do in the beginning, not me personally, I mean, but for the people that I coach, I would, in the beginning, I took them on as a little bit of a, let's take a mental break and a breather and then go a little bit in off season for 2 or 3 weeks and just letting go for a little bit and then figuring out what's happening in the world. And then after that, we more started to talk about how can we keep motivation up in terms of maybe putting in a 5K race, like where you did a race yourself, or 10K race. And it actually turned out that many of them has hit PBs and been super excited and been nervous for that day. You know, and that's been what I wanted, the adrenaline rush, and also been kind of on them. Okay, are you ready for Saturday? And how's the body feeling? And, you know, giving them a few taper days. And so they're fresh into it. And I think that's maybe, you know, a way of keeping it fresh and happy and alive and entertaining in this period. Because also in the beginning, we also had to be a little careful because we didn't know the extent of the illness in terms of how much will it affect us that's so active that maybe already have an immune system that might not be as strong if it is that we are really loaded in training. So I also want to tread carefully in the beginning in terms of not, you know, depriving their immune system in any way, so that if it was that Corona came around, we did not know how it would hit us, right?
Yeah.
But now as we got wiser with the disease, now I think it's safe to say that there are not that many athletes that have got ill. Not that I know of and have been worked with, and I quite have a lot of athletes that I kind of speak with or hear from. So I think this, the small races or the small kind of tests are better than a lot of 200-kilometer rides that I've heard.
Yeah, no, I like some people have sort of been on the turbo for 8 hours and they probably would just go on the turbo for maybe an hour once a week or something.
Yeah. But I think it's just because you're like, oh, you know, you can't find purpose or meaning with all of this. And everything just seemed completely like, what should I do? And you feel lost in it. And then you're just trying to find some sort of purpose, and a goal for you could be to ride 8 hours. And it's like, oh, well, then I have something to look forward to in a way.
Yeah. Can't go anywhere. So
no, might as well just sit here.
Yeah. And then, Hella, how is your coaching going? And I don't know if this will be timing will be wrong for when we put this out there, but what is happening with Hella's sort of boot camp / what's happening?
Well, it's going well. So there are kind of two sides of my coaching. So I have my private coaching where they have me one-to-one, and I'm very personal with them, and I know everything that's going on with them and their family life and everything. And then I have my kind of virtual club that I started it up in January, where we had lots of people from 49 different countries on board, and it was a great success. And it was, it was amazing. I was very touched on how I could influence and educate and mentor so many different people. I was 350 people, and in all different levels, from elite amateur down to a beginner, completely beginner, and how we got this community rolling with the video content and learning and training plans for their levels was, it really took me by surprise how well it's gone. So then our plan was to kind of roll into, that was more like an early season theme, mm-hmm. roll into a more like a race-specific theme, but then Corona hit. And then we were like, it doesn't really make sense to roll this out now. Like, we can't swim, and there are other things in the world that's a little bit more important than educating people in triathlon. So we kept the community going in there and kept kind of motivating each other to be wise and stay active and stay healthy and share some experience and knowledge and what was happening around the world and in all the 49 different countries that was in the group. And then, so now we decided that after also asking the members if they are ready for a second phase, which we are now called You Versus 2020. And we simply called it that because we think that 2020 is a challenge in itself. So yeah. All of us are going to go against this 2020 and show that we will get on the other side of it. And because there are no certain races really out there, we thought, okay, let's just try and find purpose and meaning with all we are doing. So we will take this race-specific approach. So we will teach them in race-specific training, nutrition, equipment, everything in that matter. The training will again be specific to the levels and race-specific. And then we will get quite a few guest educators in as well. That will come on board and share their knowledge and motivate and inspire the people on board. And then we will have an optional race-ish the 16th of August where people can put all their knowledge to test and their training to test, and it will be you versus you. So yep. You set your goal, or you versus 2020. You set your goal if you want to do it all in one day, if you want to do the race in one go, if it's a specific what target, specific time. And then we would like people to obviously share how that goes that day, because that would be just awesome to see someone doing it in, the Philippines, and one in Mexico, and yes. One can ride there, and one is inside, and one has been swimming in I don't know what. And yeah, so that's just going to be great. And then like we also, in terms of like, you know, the knowledge you would learn, you can always use that for another race at another point. And being able to, for me, to be able to give back to a lot of people from everything that I have learned and experienced during my career is something that is very, very valuable for me. And I definitely felt like doing that when we launched the first kind of phase of the training club. So it's pretty cool. And then, yeah, I've said my own coaching. And then my book is coming out in 2 weeks. So
yeah, 2 weeks?
Yeah, so we're not sitting.
So by the time people listen to this, it might be out, or it might be out in about a week. That's, yeah. And did you enjoy the process of writing it all?
Yeah, I did. It was great. It was perfect timing because, of course, I just finished my career. So it was easier to put things into perspective and stand outside yourself and look in. Whereas if you've been in the middle of it, you probably wouldn't have the same time, but also you maybe could not see what was going on around you. So therefore, I think I've been able to get way more takeaways and share way more knowledge, which it is a biography, but there are a lot of knowledge that you can use as well. Also, if you're not a sports person, but if you're a person that actually want to challenge yourself and you're a goal setter, it will help you as well. So it was a great process. It was a long one. I did not know when you're done writing, you are far from done writing. Like, I mean, the rewriting and how critical you are on yourself. And I mean, that's probably also because of this, as I talked about, the type A person people, yeah, we just wanted to be great.
It took on everything perfect.
I mean, it took a long time for me to be satisfied with it, but I think, yeah, I think it's gone to a point where I'm satisfied. And I mean, now it's coming in Danish, and then we're going to get it translated to English as well, and it will come in the fall in English. Yeah.
Okay, so autumn time, we will look out for your book.
Sounds good.
Fantastic. Hella, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you for taking the time.
I'm really looking forward to reading that book. It should be a great read.
Thanks for listening to the Inside Try Show. If you want to get in touch or get a little bit more information on anything, then reach out to Helen on Instagram or Twitter at Inside Try Show.
You can also find Inside Try Show over on Facebook. So please, will you do me a big favor? Go and like the Facebook page. It's just Inside Try Show over on Facebook. I'd really appreciate it. Don't forget, you can get 20% off all orders over at comfuel.co.uk. It's like a pick and mix of sports nutrition delivered through your letterbox. Just use the code INSIDETRY at checkout. But this week's show has been powered by 33fuel.com. Use the code INSIDETRY33 for a discount at checkout. But in the meantime, I will be back next week. So look after yourself, look after those around you, and I look forward to speaking then.
Podcast Network.